going? It's Alex from modernhealthmonk.com. And today I'm going to be interviewing Amanda Torres, who lost a ton of weight and totally changed her health. So welcome, Amanda.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be here, Alex.
So, I mean, let's just jump right into it. Can you quickly, you know, can you tell us about yourself, you know, a little bit of your backstory and how, you know, your health got to its worst or, you know, most frustrating point?
Sure. So my health started to decline when I was in grad school. You know, stereotypical story, you're poor, you don't have much time, you're mm-hmm. high stress, you eat a bunch of crap, you don't get enough exercise. That was totally me. I mean, I was vegetarian, which translated more into carbitarian, like frozen pizzas and grilled cheese sandwiches made with the cheapest white bread and mm-hmm. American cheese and margarine, like ramen noodles, like... That was okay in college, but I guess once I got a little older in grad school, like it caught up with me and I started to gain a little weight. I didn't own a car at the time. I was biking to and from campus, so that helped some, but I probably gained like 25 pounds. So I'm 5'5". My kind of like normal weight is like 130 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I was probably like 160 in grad school. And then when I moved and got my first like full-time job working at a lab, I'm a researcher by training, it got worse. I had like no time to exercise, less time to cook, still eating crap, and stressful job. And I topped out at 210 pounds, which is like classified as obese. Mm-hmm. I had a ton of health problems and was in really bad shape, and I was only 25 years old hit my worst.
Can you tell us, like, so what were some of the health problems you started experiencing from that?
A lot. So, I mean, like, a lot. I had been diagnosed with metabolic syndrome and, mm-hmm. like, pre-diabetes with blood work. Like, I was, like, my levels were, like, just under the criteria for diagnosing with diabetes, and that was like 2 years before I even started to change anything. So I could have been like technically type 2 diabetic. I don't know, I never got more blood work to see, but that was the big thing, and that was the scariest thing, was like knowing that I had that. I suffered from depression ever since I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I took all kinds of antidepressants. I couldn't sleep. I had to take pills to sleep at night. I had anxiety problems, took stuff like Klonopin and things like that. Just a lot of like nervousness and depression issues. I had really horrible acne, like deep, like cystic, painful. I also had another condition that's getting more recognition these days, but still it's not that well known, and even some dermatologists don't know about it. It's called hidradenitis suppurativa. I know that sounds bizarre, but it's
that sounds
like
pretty scary.
It's awful. If you try to Google pictures of it, it's really awful. You get these huge boils in areas where skin touches skin, so like underarms, groin, buttocks, under your breasts. Some women get them there. Like, it's awful. And dermatologists just put you on chronic antibiotics to treat it, which is
yeah, I know. My little brother has got chronic sinus infections, and he's on that dangerous route as well. So he's going, you know, the alternative and diet route right now, trying to figure that out, because
that's good.
Those antibiotics are rough long term.
Oh yeah, no, it's so bad.
So
and I think that the antibiotics contributed to my weight gain too, possibly.
Interesting.
In as I crept up to my highest weight. I got urinary tract infections all the time. I got yeast infections all the time. I had horrible periods. Like, there's a term, dysmenorrhea, like so bad I miss work. Like,
wow.
That's not normal. That's not something that's acceptable. Oh, I had hypertension too. They wanted to put me on blood pressure medicine.
Wow.
My cholesterol was out of whack too. They wanted to put me on statins when I'm 25 years old. Hello, that's, that's not good.
So did you have some of these before, or was most of this just showing up after, you know, after a lot of the weight gain and the stress and all that kind of stuff?
It definitely got a lot worse as I gained weight. It was like all this stuff happened together. The weight gain, things getting worse. And gastrointestinal symptoms. Like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to go into details, but I just, I would take Tums. I carried Tums around with me in my purse and like the chewable Pepto-Bismol. And I would have to take those pills that limit your stomach acid production, like the heartburn pills, like now I'm blanking on the names for them, but and I took Prilosec. You take that for like 2 weeks at a time and then you go off of it for like 2 weeks. I took Imodium, like anti-diarrhea, just every day I had to take probably at least 3 pills related to my digestive tract.
Wow,
not working,
yeah.
Right. And that got like way bad once I started gaining weight. And mm-hmm. not surprisingly, after I was put on chronic antibiotics.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff that goes on in the gut when we start killing all the good bacteria with the bad bacteria.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's not easy to fix with people. So, I mean, what specifically, you said you were essentially a bad vegetarian. So what, yeah. like, specifically were you eating throughout the day?
Well, it progressed. I mean, in grad school, like, I really was, like, stereotypical, like, ramen noodles and pizza. Like, I hardly ever bought fresh produce. I would buy fruit sometimes, but I mean, really, like, I didn't know how to cook, aside from just like throwing, you know, frozen dinners in the oven or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
Once I started my job, I got a little better. My future husband that I was living with at the time convinced me to start introducing meat into my diet again, mm-hmm. but you know, we didn't cook it from scratch all that often, let me put it that way. Like, it was coming in the frozen dinners, and oh my god, I did Nutrisystem too.
And
I
started how did that go? In,
oh my god, it was awful. I mean, I started it in grad school and I continued it after I moved and started my full-time job, and I was gaining weight during that time, so that tells you something. Like, it did the opposite of what it was supposed to do.
right. So throughout all of this stuff, what was really the defining moment when you said, all right, something really needs to change? I know you talked about, like, so, I mean, how is it affecting you psychologically? Like, you know, self-esteem or how you perceived yourself or confidence and those kinds of things. Because, I mean, when we get unhealthy or when we gain a lot of weight, there's like two parts to it. There's the physical health part. And there's also like the really strong emotional part, which often overpowers the, you know, the medical part. So what, like, what were you thinking then? And like, and what finally was like, this is the, you know, the last straw.
I mean, my self-esteem definitely suffered a lot. Funny thing, I actually, once I started to gain weight, I didn't want to accept that this was gonna be like my new me. So I saved all my clothes, like all the clothes that I wore in college and grad school, like when I was my quote normal weight.
Uh-huh.
I packed them up and I kept them and kind of used that as it took me several years to finally reach my worst and then make the decision to make a change and then finally get back there. But eventually I did get back to where I could fit into my clothes. But like that, like knowing, like there's no worse feeling than like putting on a pair of jeans and like realizing you've gained too much weight, you can't fasten them, like right. You can't wear them. Like it really, like I remember crying over, you know, feeling so sorry for myself and just being so kind of self-loathing that I had let myself get that way. But I still always kept that kind of thing in the back of my mind that I would get back to where I should be. And I think that's, there's this thing with the clothes that like, and it was just like such an amazing day when I finally got to that point where I could wear my old clothes again.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome.
my self-esteem suffered greatly. When I got married, we just had a small little ceremony at our house with a friend who could do it legally and just had some family over. It was a small little thing, but we didn't really take a lot of pictures, but I remember like looking back at the pictures of me and seeing how large and unhealthy I looked. And there was one really clear memory that really like put a fire under me to do something. And it was the most random thing. I mean, you know, in my commute to and from my job, we listened to NPR and they were doing a story on obesity and metabolic syndrome and how being obese and having metabolic syndrome, pre-diabetes, is like the worst predictor for your health of anything. Like, you're at a higher risk of having like every single horrible chronic disease, you know, and dying right. early and being miserable and being totally unhealthy. And I remember that story really struck a chord with me. And we heard that on the way to work. And I remember after work really just breaking down and talking to my husband and saying, oh my God, we have to do something. We have to really make a big change. And I cannot be this way because my health is going to get even worse. Like, I think it's bad now. Like, so that would have been kind of in the late fall of 2009. And okay. so, you know, it was kind of like perfect timing to set up for like a New Year's resolution kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So when you started, like, what were you doing to stay motivated? So what did you start with? Did you focus on food? Did you exercise? Did you decide, like, let's change one little habit? Did you read a book?
Well, okay, so my story kind of has two parts.
Okay.
The first part is when I followed, quote-unquote, conventional wisdom for losing weight. Basically, starve yourself and exercise yourself to death.
Right.
And eat whole grains and high fiber and low fat and don't eat red meat and all this crap. And
yep.
There's this whole, like, that whole way of approaching it kind of has this, you kind of assume that it's going to be really hard. You're going to deprive yourself, no pain, no gain. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not an easy thing. There's nobody that says, oh, it's easy. It's like, you got to really punish yourself to accomplish anything. And that didn't do anything for me. Like, I hurt myself and had to stop exercising. And so then the second part of what I did, which was 9 months later, I found the paleo primal way of eating, specifically mm-hmm. primal from the Primal Blueprint.
Okay.
And that is what got me results.
So throughout the day, so let's do a quick shift, a quick jump forward. So what were the first changes you started making? Did you eat, for example, did you drop whole grains? Did you eat more plants? Did you eat more meat? Did you eat a specific kind of meat? And obviously, since you're a vegetarian, how did you kind of make that psychological change to eating meat again?
Well, I had made the shift to eating meat earlier, like a few years earlier, and kind of eased into it with stuff like hamburgers and bacon. Like, who doesn't like hamburgers and bacon?
Yeah, right.
But I did really struggle reintroducing those things. And the reason I went vegetarian in the first place was just for ethical reasons, just mm-hmm. seeing the conditions of factory farming. And I didn't even know there was an alternative to that, which I now know that you can procure meats from animals that are raised humanely, outdoors, cows eating grass the way they're supposed to, and chickens out on pasture. You know, they're leading normal lives for their species, and they're right. not cramped, and they're eating the diet that is appropriate for them, that's not going to make them sick or kill them, like corn-fed beef. You know, cows right. die eventually if they eat only corn. So do you want to know what I changed when I was following the conventional wisdom, or once I went to primal?
Well,
do you just want to skip?
It might even be good to say, you know, what you started with. You know, did you do the classic, like, you know, low okay. fat, high, whatever,
yeah.
high whole grains, and then what, you know, eventually helped you really lose a lot?
Sure. Okay. So when I first started that January, like, it was totally like New Year's resolution. I think it was like January 3rd was then the Monday, and like that was the day we were starting, and we went to the gym on campus and tried to like eat salads, tried to do low fat. It was around that time that I started learning more about like kind of like local food and like the importance of organic and or pesticide free and the humanely raised animals. And where I was living at the time, in Athens, Georgia, it's kind of like a haven for that kind of thing. There's all these farms, everybody's growing food without pesticides. It's like a real community of people trying to get back to the way their grandparents would have done it, you know?
Right, right.
And I had some friends that were getting into kind of like mini homesteading, like having backyard chickens, and one of my coworkers had cows, and she had them out on grass, and it was like, why would I feed them corn? Like, so I was, you know, kind of learning this kind of stuff, and I kind of gradually, you know, started going to the farmer's market, and started trying to learn more about just how to eat better. And, you know, most people will agree that eating a lot of local produce is definitely really good. And the more I researched about meat and fat, like, I kind of learned that maybe they're not so bad if you get them from the right sources.
Right.
And kind of priming myself for everything that I learned once I came across the Primal Blueprint website, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a progression. And then once I found that website, which was shortly after I hurt myself exercising, I spent a lot of time reading and researching, and like, I mean, I probably spent like 3 months just reading about Primal and food sources and fat. And like, then I found out about the Weston A. Price Foundation and his research.
Uh-huh.
And, all this stuff, like, it's a lot to assimilate, and it took me a lot of time. I'm very skeptical by nature. I mean, I'm a scientist by training, and whatever, if this is what the American Heart Association, the Diabetes Association say you're supposed to eat, like, aren't they right?
There's probably the science behind it. That's the theory anyways.
Right.
So did you count calories? Did you just focus on shifting to, you know, healthier sources of food in general? So focusing on the what rather than the how much.
At first, I counted calories. At first, I was kind of crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the machines at the gym that tell you how many calories you burned, and, like, I would really push myself to try to burn X number of calories if I knew I had eaten whatever number during the day. And, I mean, that's not fun, and it doesn't work. It's hard to stick to, I mean, it can work for some people, but somebody like me, I was really sick and really overweight. Obviously, you know, a lot of hormonal imbalances going on too, probably with, you know, insulin and leptin and all this stuff that a lot of people don't even understand or know much about. Like, but then the beauty of the whole, like, paleo way of eating is that it kind of tells you, like, don't count calories. What you kind of focus on more if you're trying to lose weight is your macronutrient ratios. Mm-hmm. And what I did when I first jumped in is I focused on being very low carb, like so low that I was in ketosis in the beginning.
So you said you started off counting calories, and then after you were just focusing on the right sources. And I, you know, when I've worked with clients, I found this to be very true. When they focus on the right food sources, you know, like a protein-based diet, high vegetable intake, the right fats, it's actually very hard to overeat. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
Right. Like, for the first week or so, or maybe it was a little longer for me, but, like, I remember the first, like, 3 or 4 days being, like, awful as far as hunger levels went. Like, I was eating so much food, like half of a huge bunch of kale sauteed, like half of an onion, and then like a huge serving of some like slow cooked meat or something, like a lot of food. And I was not skimping on fat, you know, I'm sauteing that kale in a lot of coconut oil. Like, it's a lot of calories, a lot of fat. And I remember, I think it was maybe the second night, and I remember vividly, my husband and I had finished eating, and I was like, oh God, I'm so stuffed, but I'm still hungry. Why? What's wrong with me? But it's that switching your body over to learning how to use fat for fuel.
Right, right. It was probably that early carb, missing the carbs.
Right, and yeah.
So when you had, like, for example, on these really tough days at the start, how did you stay motivated? Like, was there any particular method you used for staying motivated, or?
There wasn't really a specific method. I kind of think that motivation is such an individual thing, and I wish I knew better how to tell people how to be motivated. But, like, for me, like I tell people I have an iron will, and once I make a decision to do something and achieve a goal, I do it. Like, and I don't really know. I just, when that NPR story, like, that's when I made this decision. Like, I am not going to stay, I'm not going to be unhealthy. Like, I just had to keep telling myself, like, these mantras, like, I am going to fit in my clothes again. I am not going to need all these pills forever. I'm not going to keep needing to, you know, go to the doctor all the time and missing work. And I guess that's kind of, like, just kind of being stubborn almost. Like, well, no, I'm not going to stay like this.
Right.
And that's individual. Like, everybody has a different personality, and that's just how I work, I guess.
Okay. So what was the hardest part for you?
The hardest part, well, because I was achieving my results with the paleo diet, you know, it's pretty weird to a lot of people, especially three and a half years ago when I started it. You know, it was still kind of new. Not that many people knew about it. They're like, what? You're going to stop eating bread? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, the hardest part was truly feeling kind of like I was being a weirdo. Like, you know, like going out with friends, like having to, it was a little embarrassing to like have to ask the waiter a million questions and make changes to my orders to make sure it didn't have something I wasn't supposed to have, you know?
Right.
I mean, that was honestly was the hardest part. It was kind of like this social, like I felt kind of ostracized, I guess.
Right. And yeah, that's not, I mean, this, you know, there's so much research showing that we are, just like how our income is similar to that of our friends, so is our health and even our weight. And like when your friends, I mean, if you are the person in the group that has shifted to the healthier lifestyle, it's really not easy to maintain that. You know, when everyone wants to go out Friday night after work for beer and they order a big pizza,
right,
and you can't eat bread, then, you know, then what?
Right. And also, too, like, some people can be not very supportive, too. Like, there's this thing where, you know, not being happy for others' success or always trying to find a criticism, or it's mm-hmm. like, well, you're going to give yourself a heart attack if you keep eating that way. It doesn't matter if you're losing weight. Like, I mean, you'd be amazed the things that some of the people around me, coworkers and friends, would say, like, criticizing. And meanwhile, I'm losing weight. Like, it's like falling off of me fast. I lost like, what, like 20 pounds or 30 pounds in the first month or something. Like, I lost a lot of weight really fast. And I had alleviation of major symptoms, like, especially like the gastrointestinal stuff, like, got amazingly better.
That's
within
awesome.
Just a few days. Yeah. So just that really was the hardest part, is like not feeling like I could talk to anybody about it except for my husband and then a bunch of strangers on the internet.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so let's talk about this a bit, because this is like a huge stumbling block. Many people that I work with or that read Modern Health Monk, they know what they need to do. But when it comes to the lifestyle portion, that's like, you know, that's the tough part. They go home and say they don't eat sweets, or they don't buy them. Say their husband or their kids have got cookies all over, you know, all over the place. Or they go out and the friends are subtly jealous of them, and they try to sabotage them, like you mentioned.
Right.
I mean,
right.
What would your advice be to someone else who's kind of going through that?
I mean, I'll be honest and tell you that I don't think I would have been successful if my husband hadn't been on board too. And let me tell you, it took some serious convincing to get him to do it with me. He's like, oh, hell no, we're not taking away bread. But he also had some of his own problems. He was a little, he wasn't necessarily overweight. Well, actually, he was technically for his height. He was a little bit overweight. And he had really horrible heartburn. Like, that was his one major thing. Horrible, horrible heartburn. And within a few days of switching to the paleo, like, it cleared up and he didn't need his pills anymore. And that, like, it only took him a few days and he's like, oh man, this is awesome. Let's keep doing it.
That's the best.
So, right. I mean, it was such a hard transition for me. If he hadn't been on board, it would have been just like a million times harder, you know, because there are those temptations. Like, we had to go through and we threw away or donated everything that we couldn't have. And so we didn't have anything in the house.
That's awesome. That's the best way to do it.
Right, so that temptation just wasn't there.
Yeah. So how did you... Sorry, keep going.
I was just going to say, and as far as like going out, you know, or being at work or whatever, like I just made sure, and this is really important, is to just like always think ahead and plan ahead. You know you're going to be eating out, if you can try to look at the menu ahead of time to kind of plan what's going to be the best thing for you to eat. If you know right away there's not going to be anything for you, like plan to have some kind of snack or something beforehand so that you can, you know what I mean? Like,
right. So there's no surprises. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So how did you find time to do this? Like, you know, the, probably in the top five health, you know, quote unquote excuses or limiting beliefs is that, you know, I don't have time.
I mean, you'd be amazed what you can do when you put your mind to it. And, I'll tell you what I didn't have time for and what I made a decision and like very conscious, like I didn't have time to keep being sick and keep feeling sad and have low self-esteem from being overweight and, you know, missing work several days every month because of my period or because of my stomach being upset or because I caught another cold. I used to catch a cold like once a month almost, you know, like something was always wrong with me and I didn't have energy. Like, that's what I was like, I don't have time to deal with this. Like, my life is passing me by. I'm in my mid 20s. I should be feeling great and active and like, you know,
living. Yeah.
Right.
I like that what you just said, that my life's passing me by. That's a big one.
That's totally how I felt. And like I said, it took a lot of preparation for me to like be ready to take the plunge and like learn, you know, sourcing the right foods from the right places and like figuring out, okay, what are my go-to snacks going to be and plan, like all this stuff. Like, you know, I would spend my lunch break, for example, reading to try to prep, you know, like eat my lunch at my desk and spend time reading to prepare.
Right.
But as far as like actually implementing it, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people watch TV or spend time on the internet, like on Facebook, you know, like if you really examine your day to day, where your time goes, you can usually find a lot of it is kind of, I hate to say wasted, but maybe could be repurposed to help you achieve some goal that you really want to achieve, like weight loss or regaining health.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's all kinds of tricks, all kinds of things you can learn about, like batch cooking. So you only cook a couple times a week and you have food that will last for a long time.
Could you talk more about that?
Sure.
As far as cooking goes, because that's another, I mean, I think it's Dr. Mark Hyman. He's like, you know, his famous quote is that this quote unquote obesity epidemic could be cured if we just started cooking our own food. But again, there's another big barrier for people because of the whole time thing. So, what specifically did you use? You mentioned batch cooking. What else?
Batch cooking, well, and my slow cooker, honestly. You know, spending a little bit of time chopping and prepping the night before, usually. Throw it in the slow cooker. You know, you can make a soup, or if you're going to make a big roast. Like, I purposefully, whenever I cook a roast, I always make, like, a gigantic one, like, the biggest one that will fit in my slow cooker. so that it achieves two things. So that because it's just my husband and I, and we'll have usually three good-sized suppers out of that roast. Plus, I always freeze enough for usually one or two suppers down the line somewhere, if I just need to, you know, pull it out and thaw it quickly and have a nice protein that's ready relatively quickly. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. There's lots of free resources online. If you just, you know, people that like break it down for you and so a lot of stuff is free. Like, you can just find people that have broken it down. Like, here's how to cook like a month's worth of food by only cooking like a handful of times.
Right. And that's, I mean, I do that myself as well. Usually Sundays and Mondays I'm cooking, you know, like 3 pounds of protein and then I'm just, you know, making a bunch of kale and stuff. So.
Sure. And also processing your produce, your fresh produce, like all at once, that can help a lot. Like washing it, chopping it, whatever. Because, you know, that kind of stuff can add up and take time, especially if it's a hectic weeknight and maybe you had to work late. And if you already have your whatever, it's already been rinsed and chopped and you just have to throw it in the pan and heat it up and whatever, like, that's, it can make a big difference.
Right, right. By the way, did you have cravings when you started shifting to eating more, like a mostly meat and plant-based diet?
Oh, yeah.
So what did you do to deal with those? Because that's often, when I work with people, you know, sometimes the number one issue.
Right. Well, I had done a lot of reading, like I said, about like what to expect with shifting to eating more fat, less carbs. Mm-hmm. And I knew that sugar cravings were going to be a big issue for me. And so I had read people discussing that, you know, for some people it may be better to like just go totally cold turkey and like not even have stuff like fruit or carrots, like things that are naturally sweet, because they can be a trigger to want you, make you crave even more, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, we went through and totally cleaned out our kitchen and the fridge and everything. I just, in order to avoid the, or to conquer the cravings, I just made sure that I had a lot of stuff that I could eat. Like a lot of like, I was eating a lot of like fresh, like bell pepper, like just like chopped up bell pepper, fresh, whatever, just like to have something to munch on and have as a snack. I mean, uh-huh. Not that that necessarily satisfies a sugar craving, but it was a distraction, I guess.
Right, right.
And I did let myself have treats, but just not high sugar. So I switched to having like really dark chocolate, like 70% and above, you know, which has a lot of satiating fat in it and not very much sugar, especially when you get like really high chocolate content, you know.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I just kind of strong-armed it. Like I went totally cold turkey. Not only was I avoiding sugar, but I was avoiding carbs. Like I didn't have starchy vegetables at first. And like, we were just mostly eating a lot of greens and meat and good fat, and mm-hmm. just kind of had to strong arm my way through it for the first, I think it takes about like 2 weeks once you're really making that change for it to feel like totally normal. I mean, it gets better after the first couple of days, but it's still not. Like, it's still there.
Still there for a while, right? Did you use any cheat days by any chance?
Not really intentional cheat days. Not until more recently.
Okay.
The reason why I didn't let myself in the beginning for, like, the first, like, year and a half or so is just because I was still having, you know, some digestive issues, and I was trying to kind of like, I had some food intolerances, and it took me a long time to kind of narrow it down and work on healing my gut from all those dang antibiotics I took.
Right.
And part of why I didn't let myself have cheat days is because I just felt so awful
after like, them.
I mean, like, just, I mean, missing work sometimes, because if I mean, in the beginning, I learned that I had a really severe gluten intolerance,
okay.
which has since been reversed. I don't really know how to explain exactly how or why. The researchers are only just starting to look at this topic. They're only just recognized like non-celiac gluten sensitivity as an official like thing. It's not just in your head. They only just did that like 2 years ago or something.
Right. That's becoming pretty recent in the literature.
Yeah, and I've read a couple of papers where they've, you know, they're asking, is it a transient thing? What's happening? Why is it happening? And in my case, yes, it was a transient thing. Like, now that's gone. But, like, you know, for the first, like, 2 years, if I, quote, cheated and had whatever, I remember one day I did cheat in the early times, and I ate a Oreo cookie, of all things, like, and I got so sick. Oh my gosh. I missed work, and it was like, oh my gosh, I cannot do that again.
With your with the gluten, it could have even just been that your gut kind of healed itself a bit, you know, kind of restored some of that kind of fix that gut permeability issue, which is, right. you know, a big issue with people that have suboptimal diets. But I mean, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. So what would be, you know, your last piece of advice for someone who really wants to feel healthy, really wants to be pain-free, lose weight, start feeling better? And, you know, well, actually, I also didn't ask how much weight you lost. And also, just your last, you know, pieces of advice for someone who wants to change their health and their life.
Sure, yeah. So I ended up losing 80 pounds in 1 year.
That's awesome.
So I went from 210 to 130, and I went from a size 18 to a size 4.
That's awesome. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. And I have maintained that now for 3.5 years.
All right.
So, yeah, I still can't believe it sometimes. And looking at pictures of myself, I still can't believe it. But, yeah. Since I had so many health problems and since the way of eating that ended up working for me was this kind of alternative way, like, I really wish that I had found, and this is what I would recommend to other people, just to save a lot of troubleshooting and a lot of stress and maybe even wasted money on trying one thing and it's not working. Because I also did some things with some herbs and supplements and things to try to help me in my healing journey. But it would be to find some kind of practitioner. Like, you know, I personally have kind of lost my faith in Western medicine just based on how they treated me when I was so sick.
Right.
You know,
and how little it really worked to reverse that.
Oh man, I mean, I got worse. I got sicker under the care of Western medical doctors.
I know. Unfortunately, it's becoming more the norm these days. I mean, I had my own, you know, chronic stuff when I, you know, a few years back, and my little brother, and it seems like everyone we know has got some kind of chronic issue they're dealing with. And Western medicine right. is not doing too hot to fix that.
Right. Well, you know, they say that they know how to prescribe drugs and do surgery. And, I mean,
but we got to win this with our forks and knives.
Right. Or like the father of medicine, the famous quote from Hippocrates that let thy food be thy medicine and thy medicine be thy food. That, you know, that's something that Western medicine has totally missed. Like,
isn't that doctors amazing? 2,000 years ago, they already had this figured out. 2,000 years ago.
Right.
That's unreal.
And now some doctors, some medical schools don't even do nutrition training. Like, or it's like one class.
Right.
And they don't, you know, I work at a medical school now and I've had conversations with doctors and talked about gluten and they don't even know.
What it is, really.
Yeah. Like, is that in peanuts? Like, yeah. What?
Yeah, it's, we are definitely in an interesting world these days.
So, what I was trying to say is that I wish that I had started seeing somebody. I see a Chinese medicine doctor now.
Awesome.
And she's totally awesome. And, I mean, the whole idea of food being able to harm or heal, like, that's kind of part of that that history, that like she prescribes people to eat the way that I eat sometimes. Like she'll say, you need to cut out grains, you need to cut out dairy, you need to do an elimination diet because you have some food intolerances and you probably need to lower your carb intake a lot. Like that's a very common thing that she like literally prescribes to patients.
Interesting.
And it gets them results.
Right.
And she's been able to help me, you know, target certain supplements based on what I need. And, you know, I was kind of way off base with some things I had a good hunch about, but I wish that I had started seeing somebody much, much earlier, like somebody that's kind of on that same page with the more alternative,
integrated kind of,
unplugged, right.
Right.
Unplugged right. from the low fat, high whole grain stuff. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And you can find it with Western doctors. I don't want to totally... Western medicine has a place, especially for, like, emergency surgeries and, like, emergency room kind of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the strong points. But, I mean, you can find functional medicine doctors.
I was going to mention that as well. That's that's who I'd recommend if you're going to go the Western route, or integrative functional medicine, definitely exactly. would look into that.
Exactly. Also, there's naturopathic doctors, which can be super helpful. Or even if I had just talked to a holistic nutritionist or a NTP, which is a nutritional therapy practitioner, I think is the term, and it's not just the high fat. I mean, high carb, low fat nonsense. Like they talk about nutrient density and a lot of that Weston A. Price stuff with like the fat soluble vitamins and right. That would be one thing that I think is really helpful, is to have somebody who's a professional that has already done the research and has already worked with people, right.
Absolutely.
And then also too, I mean, just because of my own experience and learning about the food intolerances and how following the conventional advice, which is what's put out by the official organizations, like I mentioned earlier, like the Heart Association, the Diabetes Association, the diabetes diet,
Right.
The point I was just trying to make.
You were saying, you were talking about Weston Price and, finding a qualified health practitioner. Is that related to it?
Right. Oh, no, sorry. I know what I was going to say. Because of my own experiences with my food intolerances that, and because of, when I've shared my story with friends and family and they've gone on to kind of do an elimination diet, sometimes only just to test for gluten, but even just doing that one thing, just to try it for 2 weeks or 3 weeks to see if, just cutting out gluten for that time can help alleviate some problem you're having or help right. you lose a little bit of weight. Like think outside the box, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, and look into these kind of more alternative approaches. And obviously, since I had such great experience with paleo primal specifically, I mean, I think highly of it, and it's a good thing to start with.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, again, that's, that's also what I suggest to most people, is to start with essentially meat and plants and then see what works from there. See what, reintroduce things, remove things, and really get to testing. It's really unsexy, I know, but it's kind of like a foolproof way,
Right. And a lot of people will notice within just a few days if, like myself and my husband and I can't tell you how many, my friends and family that have at least just tried gluten-free notice almost right away that it makes a big difference. And then especially if they reintroduce it and they get really sick, then it's oh boy.
right. Yeah. That was huge for me for GI stuff as well. Getting rid of all breads.
Yeah.
That made a big difference. Well, again, Amanda, I just wanted to thank you for your time and thank you for sharing your story. I know, people that have, are just starting the journey and this, the very long road ahead, it's really, really inspiring to hear other people's stories. So, sure. Yeah, thanks for stopping by.
Sure. Actually, on that note, you asked about motivation and I wanted to mention that one of the big motivators for me was hearing other people's success stories.
Awesome.
Specifically with the, the primal lifestyle and seeing all these before and after pictures and people talking about all these various health problems improving and being able to get off medications and all these things. Like, that in itself was a huge motivator for me to give it a try. So, good for you for helping spread people's success stories, because it can be what somebody needs to finally take whatever step it is they need to take.
Yeah, sometimes it's just that one drive to work, and they hear your story, and and then the chain is spread, the word is spread. So exactly. Where can people can find out more about you, or shoot you an email, or contact you?
Oh yeah, so I actually have a blog. It's called The Curious Coconut. It's just thecuriouscoconut.com. I started it as a way to just share my success story, and also because I'm kind of a science nerd, I talk a little bit about science, but now more recently I'm just more into sharing recipes, like, and tips and tricks and ways to kind of be successful if you want to have a more real food. That's another term people use for eating this way, like a real food diet.
Yeah, that's the phrase I use.
Yeah, just eat real food.
Right.
You know, and I interpret that as being the foods that work for you. So if you need to avoid grains, then you can avoid grains and you can still eat like real food from other sources. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So yeah, thecuriouscoconut.com or thecuriouscoconut@gmail.com is my email. I would be happy to, I get emails often with people asking, you know, for tips and advice and thanking me for having an inspiring story, but you know, I'm just, because I was so sick and miserable, I know what that's like, and I really feel for people that are struggling, and so that's kind of one of my passions now, is helping to just try to spread knowledge of ways to help achieve the goals with health and weight regulation, you know?
Right, right.
Because it can feel pretty helpless if the only thing you know is Western medicine and the only thing they do is like throw antibiotics at you or tell you you need to have your gallbladder removed or like whatever. Like,
yeah, right. It's a very scary place to be in. I mean, backed into a corner.
Yeah, if that's the only thing you know, that you can feel trapped, which I did. And anyway.
Well, so thecuriouscoconut.com, you said?
Yes.
All right, awesome. Well, again, I just wanted to thank you for your time, and hopefully we'll have a follow-up with you soon with another inspiring call.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you reaching out to me.
No problem, Amanda. Talk to you soon.
All right.